And Jesus said, gather the pieces that are left over and let nothing be wasted. Let nothing be wasted. Every one of you have a cardboard piece. What would yours say? Before and after? Maybe you can't flip it over yet. Maybe you're still seeking after him. Every one of these are amazing stories of what God has done. What God has done. We're going to look tonight at the boy that had the bread and the loaves, but I want to tell you something. This story, it's not about the boy. It's about Jesus. Because the boy didn't have what it took to accomplish the task. But Jesus did. Pray with me. Father, I thank you. I thank you for every story and every life that's represented through these testimonies. And Lord, I thank you for them. And I thank you, Lord, that through their pain and their grief, you were their comfort. Through their illness and injuries, Lord, you were their healer. Through their disappointments, Father, you were their joy. And I thank you because that is true for every one of us. And I thank you that you said, gather the pieces that are left over, because many of us have felt like we were just left over. And you said, gather the pieces that are left over and let nothing be wasted. Thank you, Jesus, for the work that you do. It's in your name we pray. Amen. Thank you all. That was powerful. Thank you. So this is a story that most of us have heard a gazillion times. You know the story. There's a crowd. They've been following Jesus for a while. They'd seen him heal a bunch of people, and so they just wanted to keep hanging out with him. They go to this place. The disciples make the observation that people are hungry, and there's no food. No food. And I think until probably several years ago, I always saw this as the story of the little boy that had some food. And I've heard sermons preached that the point of the story is the kindness of the boy to share the food that he had. But I want you to know, that is not preaching what's been given here. Because I want to remind you, as I've already said, that boy didn't have enough for the mission, for the task. He didn't have enough. But Jesus took what was there. And he made plenty of it. Read this with me. Sometime after this, Jesus crossed the far shore of the Sea of Galilee. And a great crowd of people followed him because they saw the miraculous signs he had performed on the sick. Then Jesus went up on a mountainside and sat down with his disciples. The Jewish Passover feast was near. Now John writes this, and it is specific. He wants us to know that about the time that this is getting ready to unfold, the Jewish Passover feast is getting ready to take place. I mean, how many of you remember the Passover feast? Several of you. You remember there were all the plagues, and finally the last plague was to kill the firstborn son. And you remember the Israelites are in slavery, and so the people are told to put lamb's blood on the door. And if you do that, then when the death angel comes, if that the blood of the lamb is on the door, the death angel will pass over that house, and that son would be spared. It's my favorite story. Pastor Jeff Reynolds is in my office, and my oldest son is in there. And I said, Sam, now Pastor Jeff is getting ready to have a baby boy. Do you have any advice for him, before he has a kid? And my son said to him, put the lamb's blood on the door. Profound. Obviously, he hadn't learned any good fathering techniques, so he went with the Bible, which is a good thing. And that feast is getting ready to take place, because that story is all about the grace and the mercy of God. And we're getting ready to see it unfold right here. When Jesus looked up and saw a great crowd coming toward him, he said to Philip, where shall we buy bread for these people to eat? I love it when the Bible shows us what I think is the humorous side of Jesus. Y'all like that? Because you got to listen to this. Jesus looked up, saw a great crowd coming toward him, and he said to Philip, Jesus says this, where shall we buy bread for these people to eat? Don't you know Jesus was the funnest guy to hang around? I mean, because they're the disciples, right? And Jesus said, man, look at all these people. Where are we going to get some food? He asked this only to test him. For he already, now listen, this is powerful. For he already had in mind what he was going to do. Jesus was not caught off guard by the crowd or the needs of the crowd. He wasn't caught off guard by what we're going to learn in a verse or two here at the lack of supply or provision for the crowd. None of this catches him off guard. He already had in mind what he was going to do. Listen, that's good news. I'll come back to that because I don't think you get it. Philip answered him. And you know, every crowd has a Philip. I'm telling you, there ain't no way. There ain't no way. Some of you have met Philip because Philip was pointing at you when he said, there ain't no way. Hopeless. Never amount to anything. Never. That's Philip. Philip says 8 months' wages would not buy enough bread for each one to have a bite. 8 months' wages. And there's Philip. So Jesus has posed the question, where are we going to buy some bread? You know, at the local Walmart that's there? I mean, where are we going to get the bread? And Philip's like taking him totally serious. You ever like that when people do that, when people just take you serious? My wife does that all the time. And so Jesus says, where are we going to get the bread? And Philip says, 8 months' wages couldn't buy the bread. I mean, he's like helping Jesus out. I'm telling you what now, Jesus, it wouldn't matter how much money we got. We can't afford all this. I mean, look at all these people. Another of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, spoke up. Here is a boy with 5 small barley loaves and 2 small fish, but how far will they go among so many? Has anybody here ever watched The Office? Raise your hand, because I want to know if this is even worth saying. Ashamedly, I watched The Office also. There's a guy on The Office. His name is Dwight. All right, people laughing are the people who watch The Office. This is Dwight. Andrew, Simon, Peter, that's Dwight. Jesus said, where are we gonna get some food? And there goes one of the disciples. Jesus, I've looked everywhere, and I've searched everybody. I've been checking people out, you know, and you can see him doing it, can't you? And he said, and this is all I found. A boy with 5 small barley loaves. And you know, he's feeling good because he at least tried to do something. How many of you just at least try to do something? Don't be proud of that. This is bad. And so, you know, he at least tries to do something. And Jesus said, have the people sit down. There was plenty of grass in that place, and the men sat down, about 5,000 of them. Now notice, that number 5,000 is just the men. Their families were with them. Who knows but that there was 20,000 people gathered in the grassy area. Jesus then took the loaves, gave thanks, and distributed to those who were seated as much as they wanted. As much as they wanted. He did the same with the fish. And when they had all had enough to eat, he said to his disciples, and this is what I opened up with, gather the pieces that are left over. Let nothing be wasted. So they gathered them and filled 12 baskets with the pieces of the 5 barley loaves left over by those who had eaten. Are you getting a picture here? Are you getting a picture? Now, I've heard so many sermons preached on this. And I've heard a sermon that the actual miracle that took place here was the miracle of human kindness. That when they started passing out the bread, other people said, you know what, I've got some bread. And they pulled out theirs. And somebody else said, well, you know what, I've got some fruit. And they pulled out theirs. The miracle of human kindness. If you are waiting for the miracle of human kindness, you're going to be waiting a long, long time. A long time. Have you ever tried to get something at Christmas and it was the last one there? And you get karate chopped by a beautiful 80-year-old lady who's getting it for her grandchild? You know, don't wait for the miracle of human kindness, because it's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. Some say that the miracle was that this boy was willing to give what he had. Well, if that's the case, the boy was an idiot. I thought that'd be a little funny. And all of you are mad now. It's like, I like that little boy. Well, get over it. Because here's the deal. There's 20,000 people. How smart is it? I would have been that boy. Here, Jesus, I've got some food for everyone. You are an idiot. It's not the miracle of the little boy's kindness. First of all, can I just say this? And please don't hear me say that the Bible says this. The Bible doesn't say this. But you all assume something the Bible doesn't say either. The Bible doesn't say the boy gave it up willingly. I mean, you all just assume that. Oh, he was such a sweet boy. Now, somebody knocked him upside the head and took his food. It was Dwight, the disciple. I have something, Jesus. It is only funny if you've seen The Office. But anyway, you know, we don't know that the boy was happy about it. I've made my kids give stuff. You know, just the other night, me and my son got in an argument because some kid was wanting something. And I said, just give it to him. He's like, he's just acting like a baby. I said, just give it to him. And he wouldn't give it to him. And I was incensed. And so we went to the hall. And he knew what that meant. I said, go to the hall. He's like, I'm going to give it to him right now. Oh, no, you're not. That time has come and gone. Now we're going to the hall. And you don't know that that didn't happen. The one disciple said, well, they've got some food. And the father said, here you go. And the boy said, Daddy, that's mine. Ah! I mean, you don't know. This is not the miracle of the little boy's kindness. Have you met little boys? We had a store right behind our house, just down the hill. And I remember being about 6 or 7 years old, and I would save up all my money, which is like 9, 10, or 11 cents. And when I got that much, I would ask to go to the store, and I'd go to the store. And I don't know why, and I don't need them now, but I would buy all the Chico sticks I could get. You may remember Chico sticks? They still make them? Because I don't eat sweets anymore, so I don't know. But so I would go down there, and then I would come back, and I'd have like 4 or 5 Chico sticks. And I would pour a big glass of milk. I mean, listen, you all pray for me. This has gone all, this goes back a long, long way, you know. And I'm there with those Chico sticks. And my sister would come in, and she'd say, Jamie, can I have a Chico stick? And I was a kind little boy, and I would say, no. You can't. But I wouldn't just say, no, you can't. I'd say, no, you can't. I mean, you know, this is not about the little boy. All the Bible tells us is that the boy had the stuff. The Bible doesn't tell us the boy was willing to share. Are you with me on that? I know most of you are like, that's stupid. He probably was, but here's the point. It's not about the boy. It's not about the food that he had. This story is about Jesus. And it's so much deeper than the feeding of these people. Because if you notice, first of all, this is the only miracle of Jesus that's recorded in all 4 of the Gospels. The only one. It's recorded in all 4 of the Gospels. And there's not, in this particular passage, there's not even a teaching. Jesus doesn't say, now just as I have given the food away and it multiplied, so do I. I mean, there's no teaching there. He simply feeds them. But obviously, there's a teaching that's taking place. But it wasn't necessarily a spoken teaching. He said, gather the pieces that are left over and let nothing be wasted. And so they gathered them and filled 12 baskets with the pieces of the 5 barley loaves left over by those who had eaten. And after the people saw the miraculous sign that Jesus did, they began to say, surely this is the prophet who is come into the world. And Jesus, knowing that they intended to come and make him king by force, withdrew again to a mountain by himself. Here's what I love about this story. If all Jesus could do is take what was within you, take what was inside of you, and bring it out in such a way that the world would be touched and changed, all Jesus would be is a great motivator, a great coach, a great teacher. But he is so much more than that, because he does so much more than that. And I'll tell you why, because there wasn't anything good within me. This is a story of a God who doesn't take what's inside of you, because what's inside of you, he has put there. Now, I realize just now the way I said that could be potentially confusing. So here's what I'm saying. There's nothing inside of you. There was nothing inside of you in which to motivate you in such a way as to bring it out and touch the world. What is inside of you, God has put there. This isn't about Jesus making plenty of some of a little bit that was there. This is about Jesus making something of nothing. This is about Jesus touching the world. His hands, his feet, his arms, his words, his love. So what, and there is something inside of you if you're a follower of Jesus, but I want you to know that God has put it there. And through the course of living human life, just like you saw these testimonies, things happen. Some things happen to us because of us. How many of you are in the hole you dug? And if you're like me, when I'm in that hole, I don't know what else to do, so I just keep digging. And keep digging. I can't blame anybody. I can't point at anybody else. I am where I put me. And what happens is that parts of us get broken. That's what sin does. The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus said, I've come so you may have life and have it to the full. Well, I do a lot of things that give the enemy a great foothold to begin to break and destroy things in my life. Some of us are in a hole that somebody else dug. I meet with people all the time, and they're in a hole they didn't want to be in. Somebody else has put them there. Irregardless, there they are. And it's the same deal. The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And if you won't help him destroy you, he'll find somebody else to help him destroy you. And most of us, we've been in and out of several pits just like those two. Tragedies happen in our lives. Disease, illness takes place. It's all here. And all these things remind us that we're not home yet. We don't belong here, because when I'm where I belong, I don't have to deal with that anymore. I don't belong here. We are strangers and aliens here, the Bible says. If you're a follower of Jesus, don't get too comfortable here. And that's really most of us, that's our issue. We're entirely too comfortable. And all of us have those broken pieces kind of floating around. But I want you to know God created you. And God has a plan for your life. And when he says, gather the pieces that are left over and let nothing be wasted, while he is talking very specifically, the author doesn't mince his words, Jesus is talking about the leftover food. But I want you to know there's a deeper understanding of what this means. Because the task that was at hand was impossible. No one person is going to meet the need of that crowd. No 5,000 people are going to meet the need of that crowd. Only Jesus could meet that need. And I'll tell you this, the crowd did recognize this somewhat as a miraculous thing that took place. They did take note of that, and they gave immediate credit to this miraculous sign that Jesus was who he said he was. I want you to know this is all about Jesus. And if you're a follower of Jesus, here's the incredible deal for our lives. Even those places that are broken, even if you broke those broken places, he says, gather them and let nothing be wasted. And so the pit that I'm in, that I dug, God will bring beautiful things out of that when, while in that pit, I acknowledge him and who he is. And I cry out to him to get me out of the pit. And I wish I could tell you he got me out of a pit, but that'd be a lie. He's got me out of a bunch. And I dug more than one. He says, gather the pieces that are left over. Let nothing be wasted. Let nothing be wasted. And the message is simply this tonight. Some of the people you saw on this stage, if we just had a night where we gave them the microphone and they shared, not all of them, but some of them would share that the place they were at was a place where they felt like was beyond the grasp of God. What happened is so horrible, God couldn't even make anything good out of this. Some had done things that made them think that, man, God wouldn't want to use me at this point. But Jesus said, gather the pieces that are left over and let nothing be wasted. Let nothing be wasted. And for every one of you, those deepest, darkest, broken places, God can make beautiful things come out of that. And not just that. God will use those places to touch the world if you'll really follow Jesus. I say this, I've said this, I think, every Wednesday night for the last month. You've been created for more than living and dying. You've been created for more than that. God wants to use you. So here's the deal. Everybody listen. Everybody gather in real tight. That's good. I want to ask you tonight to trust Jesus. Because some of you, you're serving, you're doing the best you can, but you got that one place that you don't think Jesus can do anything with. Some of you, you've got that place and you think if Jesus finds out about it, he's done with you. Can I help you? He already knows. You're not keeping anything from him. He already knows. One of my favorite stories, this little boy, Johnny and Susie, and they're staying at their grandmother's, and their grandmother has this duck, and she got Johnny a slingshot, and she gave him the instruction, Johnny, don't shoot the duck. Simple instructions for a boy. And so Johnny and Susie are outside, and he gets that slingshot, and he puts a rock in it, and he pulls it back. Bam, he hits the duck right between the eyes, and it drops dead. And Johnny goes, So his sister helps him, and they go bury the duck. And his sister promises she won't tell on him. So they get in the house, and they sit down, and they eat. And when they're done eating, the grandmother says, now, Johnny, Susie and I are going to go watch TV. I want you to do the dishes and tidy up the kitchen. Now, think about that. That's not what happened. The grandmother said to Susie, now, Susie, you tidy up the kitchen, and you do the dishes. And Susie said, grandmother, I would love to do that. But Johnny was just telling me earlier that he wished he could help out more around here. And he said he wanted to do it. Didn't you, Johnny? Remember the duck? And Johnny goes, oh, yeah. Yeah, I want to do that. They get up the next morning, same deal. They have breakfast. Grandmother tells Susie, clean up. And she says, Grandma, you know, Johnny just told me when we were coming down here, he had fun last night and wanted to do it again this morning. Didn't you, Johnny? Remember the duck? Goes on for a couple days, and finally Johnny can't take it anymore, and he runs to his grandmother, and he gets down on his knees, and he's crying, and he's hugging her legs. He said, grandmother, when I went outside with that new slingshot, you told me not to shoot the duck, but I shot the duck and I killed it, and I'm so sorry. And she said, I know, I was standing at the window when you did it. And she says, I was just waiting for you to come to me. Some of you tonight, you've got that place. And you wouldn't want anybody to know about that place. You know what I'm talking about? Just everybody shake your head, and that way we won't know, you know, who doesn't have a place. We all have that place. And that place is full of so much guilt and so much shame. And right now, if it's you, it is the place in your life that's keeping you from doing all that God wants you to do and from being all that God wants you to be. And he's willing to heal it, and he's willing to go to that place to cleanse it and for you to be forgiven. He's willing to do all that. But I want you to know, like that grandmother, God wants you to come to him. Because as long as I'm holding on to that place, guess who I'm going to? Me. We're going to have a time of altar tonight. I want to invite you to come. Now, I know. Now, listen, for some of you, maybe some of you don't have a clue what I'm talking about. You don't have a clue what I'm talking about. That place. I mean, what's the place? You'll learn one day. You'll have it one day. But if you're here tonight and you know that place in your life, I want to plead with you tonight to come to this altar and take it to Jesus. And that's not to assume that you never have, okay? My problem is when I bring my stuff to the altar, you know what I can't do? I just can't leave it. I put it on the altar and say, God, I'm so sorry. All right, church is over. I'm taking it back. And to leave it. Because I don't care what you think about that place. Can I tell you something? Everybody look at me. However horrible you think your place is, somebody here tonight has a worse place than you. I can point them out if you want. But to bring that. Because you've been created for more than living and dying. He wants to use your life to bless the world. Remember what he told Abram? You remember what he said? I want you to be a blessing to the nations, and that's what God wants for each of our lives. And Satan loves that that place is in your life. Whether Satan had somebody else put it there, whether you put it there, it doesn't matter at this point. What matters is God wants that place. And some of you feel like you are so broken, and you feel like life has been wasted. But Jesus said, gather the pieces that are left over so that nothing will be wasted. I'm going to ask you tonight. I mean, to get real and really bring that to the Lord tonight. And to give it to him and to realize that God created you to be used. God created you to be a blessing to others, and God wants to do that, and part of that entails healing that takes place in our lives, and God will do that. God is willing to do that. But maybe that's what the grandmother story is about. Because what I'm asking you to do tonight is quit taking it to yourself. Obviously, you can't deal with it. Obviously, you don't know what to do with it. And that is okay. Nobody here knows what to do with it. The boy didn't know what to do with the bread. He had some, but he didn't know what to do with it. But Jesus did. And so bread in the boy's hand was lunch for one or two. Bread in the hands of Jesus was lunch for everybody. You in your hands is a waste of time. Your life in the hands of God will bless the nations, will bless the world. And I believe that. That's not just a preachery thing to say to you. I believe that. You know why? Because I've seen it happen over and over and over. So bring it to him. Bring it to him. Father, we love you. And Father, I thank you that my life in my hands is meaningless. But my life in your hands can touch a world that is lost and dying. I thank you that for those here tonight, their life in their hands is just not going anywhere. But their life in your hands means life that they've never experienced before. Thank you for your grace and mercy. Thank you for getting me out of the pit I dug myself into, and getting me out of the other pit I dug myself into, and getting me out of the other pit I dug myself into, for getting me out of the pit that somebody else dug. Thank you, God. You've done that again, again, and again. Nobody could get me out, but you did. And so I pray tonight that our prayer together is that we would cry out to you, O Lord. And we would bring those places that are broken and those places that are hurting and those places that stop us from being all that you would have us to be, that stop us from being a blessing to the nations and to the world. And I pray, Lord, we would seek your face and we would seek your hands and we would seek your wisdom and we would want the things that you want. and that our hearts would break for the things that break your heart. Lord, I pray right now specifically because there are some here tonight and they are still not convinced that their life in your hands would mean anything. Father, show them tonight. Show them tonight. I pray for healing all over this place tonight. Because every one of these testimonies that we saw earlier, Father, those are things that are possible for every one of our lives if our lives are in your hands. And I pray tonight, Lord, the people who haven't trusted you would be saved tonight. I pray you would save them. You would forgive their sin. And their eternal destiny would be heaven. We love you, Lord. It's in your name we pray. Let's stand together. The altar is open. I want to invite you to come.